Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon. I'm so thrilled to be here with you today. Welcome to Advertising Week Europe. I'm here for the third time. This is my third year presenting. And I'm presenting our latest, Activision Blizzard Media's latest proprietary research, The Many Ways We Play, A New View of Game Players. Oh, I was looking for the screen here. I see. My name is Melinda Spence, and I'm fortunate enough to lead the Global Advertising Insights team at Activision Blizzard Media. The most fun part of my job, apart from being here with all of you today, is that along with my amazing team, I get to partner firsthand with players to understand how they play our games as well as others. And not only that, but we also get to understand how they feel, what their perception is of brands like yours advertising within games. If some of you can't see, there's plenty of room on this very lovely soft couch. Sorry, it feels like a shame to let it go to waste. I'm sure many of you know Activision Blizzard, but for those of you who don't, here are some of our iconic franchises. We have Candy Crush Saga, a top-grossing mobile game, and it's in its 12th year, which is incredible staying power. See, much more comfortable, right? We also have Call of Duty, which needs no introduction, World of Warcraft, Overwatch, Diablo. These are all premium titles with massively attentive global audiences. And not only for our games, but for all games, global audience, there are 3.4 billion game players. We know this opportunity is huge. You might have heard it as over one third of the population, 40% of people on the planet. It's all the same thing. Last year, what we did was we challenged our colleagues in the industry to dispel of the what is quite frankly now a myth that video gamers are teenagers playing in their basement, their little headset on, very Eric Cartman from South Park-esque. And this year, what we're trying to dispel is, although it's true this time, of saying the word 3.4 billion gamers. It's an impactful number. We understand that, but is it helpful? And we don't think it really is, because really, the gaming reality looks like this. Sure, explaining this Venn diagram is harder to say than 3.4 billion. That number may pique the interest of marketers, but it's really doing a disservice to brands who want to advertise within this space. Gamers, like television viewers, are not monolithic. There are many ways that they play, many genres that play, many different habits that come from these players. And understanding the uniqueness of these different segments, of this different complex yet growing ecosystem, it's really important for advertisers to be able to understand that if they want to thoughtfully connect within this channel. And that's important because gaming is a long-standing pastime for players. In the UK, over 66% of UK gamers have been playing for over 10 years. So this isn't a passing trend. It's not a phase. They grew up gaming. They're gaming now as adults. They're passing gaming on to their children, and now their parents are playing. This is a committed and growing audience, and gaming is important to all of them. And not only are they committed and growing, they're also here to stay with high-frequency engagement that's expected to continue. 79% of UK gamers play or watch video games being played 4 or more times a week. How many people do anything 4 or more times a week, right? Other than work, perhaps. And 93% of them say they're going to game as much this year as they did last year. So you have all these eyeballs, all this captive, leaned-in audience. Why wouldn't you want to go after them? It is 3.4 billion after all. So what we did, as part of our ongoing research into gaming audiences, we wanted to better understand the intricacies of this complex Venn diagram that we saw before. We want to understand how game players are interacting and how we can dispel of the notion that they are this one group of 3.4 billion, because it is overwhelming and it can be a barrier to entry for brands who are looking to engage. How do I get started? But really, it's just like TV or social media or anything, right? You need to break it down. You need to appeal to your specific audience. So understanding the ways that we play, we thought we would do some research, of course. And to better understand the impact of this, we partnered with an amazing research company, in case anyone is looking, a company called Alter Agents. And we surveyed, we did a quantitative analysis of over 10,000 gamers, 18 plus, based in the US and UK. We asked them everything from how frequently they play, how many hours they spend in a session, what their motivations are, how they feel, the emotions they possess while playing, what makes them want to go play. And we also asked them if they self-identify as a gamer. And this has really come into some very interesting research. And I'll give you one anecdote now from our new latest research, that one player that we interviewed in our latest, not this study, but the study that's still underway, plays about 25 hours a week. And he said that he's not a gamer. He's a casual gamer, not a hardcore gamer. So you could see maybe across his bar of what kind of games he's playing or how intense maybe his gamers, his friends are influencers. Maybe they're, you know, well, who knows? Right? Maybe they're the streamers online. We don't know, but it's really interesting if you identify as a gamer or not. When we did this study, what we found out is that there are really six unique groups of game players, and they really kind of fall under two umbrellas. Ones who play multi-platforms and others who play more predominantly on mobile. But within these six groups, we kind of found these two unifying ones, the multi-platformers and the mobile-centric. But across both of them, or all six of them, we found these unifying trends that one, pretty much all of them are playing on a mobile device. And that doesn't mean just your phone. It could be your Nintendo Switch. It could be anything. We also learned that they, no matter how old they are, that they're seasoned players. So we saw this 10 plus years on average, but no matter what, they get into it and learn very quickly. So what we'll do is to understand how this Venn diagram breaks out. We'll talk about these six segments with the two overarching umbrellas. So the first umbrella are the multi-platform players. There are three groups within this, the devoted, the up-and-comers, and the new media consumer. And what ties all of these together is that they play across PC, mobile, and console. They largely identify as gamers, so this self-identification could be 10 hours a week, it could be 100 hours a week, but whatever it is, it makes them feel like they are a gamer. They have a high opinion of gaming, which you might imagine because they are playing. They view gaming as a primary means of entertainment, and actually they put a lot of value as to who they are within this. So they derive a lot of value from gaming. They have established games, established times at which they play, which is not uncommon given the kinds of games that you would normally play on multi-platform. And they generally have a more positive viewpoint on ads, especially when it comes to influencers. So you might think these people are not interested in advertising at all. Actually, they're receptive to it. Let's look at them. The first group are called the devoted. These are the people who find the most value and most self-identify with their sense of self within gaming. They feel connected to their characters and they feel that gaming is more than a hobby. 83 said that they identify as gamer. On average, they play 29 hours a week. So this is a second job. And 47 play to experience places or roles that they don't currently have in their lives. Maybe it's a fantasy world, or maybe it's, you know, we've heard stories about children or young adults who have maybe very shy in real life, you know, real life. But when they play, they're the boss of everyone. So they can create this world and be a kind of different persona, but it is a part of them. The next group are the up-and-comers. These people grew up with games as a part of their life, just like television or social media. 56% are 18 to 34, 42% play on consoles daily, and almost a third of them say that gaming is their top media activity. Then the last part in the multi-platform umbrella are the new media consumers. They came about in gaming's strongest years in pop culture, and they have seen the eighth generation of gaming consoles come out. A third play mobile games with their friends. A fifth play video games with their children. A fifth play games on a mobile device daily. And generally, they have very high over-indexing purchasing behaviors versus other groups. They're a very ripe audience for advertising. In gaming life, I describe my role as a collector. I enjoy amassing in-game items, rare gear, or virtual achievements. I take pride in building an extensive collection within the games I play. So this is where this self-identity comes from. And just like maybe in real life, where you're playing football and you get a medal at the end, you have just as much value in that as you have with these virtual achievements. So in the game, outside of the game, none of it matters. It's an achievement nonetheless. And this is a really important part of who they feel they are. Next, we come into the mobile-centric umbrella. What unifies these three groups here is clearly that they're playing on mobile devices. They're not mobile exclusive, but that's the first kind that they reach for when they want to play. These groups include the gaming veterans, the late adopters, and the casual connectors. They spend a lot of their time on their mobile device. They tend to be individuals who either didn't grow up gaming or have discovered it later in life. They usually don't identify as gamers, but as you'll see with the time spent, if you think that's a metric, you know, self-identity is a fickle thing. They usually don't identify as gamers. And although they don't identify as gamers, they still derive, many of them still derive a lot of socialization connection from that, which is something we see more with the multi-platform gamer identities. So it's quite an interesting cut of people. This group, the gaming veterans, are the ones I probably most identify with because of my peers, my cohort. It's a group of players who have been there, done that. They were here when video games really came out, came into the forefront, and now they predominantly split their time between mobile play and PC gaming. So on average, they've been playing for about 21 years. Two-thirds play to relax, and over a third play on PC at least once a week. So they're still making time for that appointment gaming. This quote is my favorite and really sums them up. I like to keep up with gaming news, even if I don't play many of the games themselves these days. It's an expensive hobby in terms of time and money, and I don't have enough of either to play like I once did. But I enjoy keeping my hand in to at least some extent. So these people would have, a few years ago, been in the multi-platform segment, but now life circumstances have changed. They've had children, their jobs are more intense, whatever it may be. And now that they still play, but not with the intensity with which they once did. But they still keep up to date on the news and they're still playing, trying to make that appointment playtime. The next group are the late adopters. Now, they typically have come into gaming later in life. In fact, a couple things have led to this. The increase in smartphones, of course, many, many years, almost a decade ago. Then that led to the rise of mobile games. And also what we saw was a big peak in mobile game usage around 2017 when Words with Friends came out. So maybe you could think of this group kind of coming from here. They have the least connection to the gaming media compared to other segments. 78% of this group are women. They play 9 hours of gaming a week, which is still more than I go to the gym in a week. So this is still a significant amount of time. And almost two-thirds play mobile games on a daily basis. And finally, the last group within these six are the casual connectors. They're mobile-centric players who have more positive associations with games than other mobile-centric players, and they see them as a means of social connection. So over a third are playing games for the social aspect. 42% say that gaming brings them together, brings people together, and 82% play mobile games at least once a week. In another one of our older pieces of research, The Social Connector, we met this group of ladies, maybe grandmoms or just about to be grandmoms or something like that. And they actually, they play Wordle, which you wouldn't think is a naturally social game, right? It's a solo game, but they have a little WhatsApp group and every morning they're all around the US and they just message each other how many they got it in. So they said it was a beautiful quote. They said, it's like my little touch point in the day with my friends. So they can be hours away from each other, but still just have this little check-in to say how they're doing. So they've made it a social game. This quote is really cute and really sums up everything that we see time and time again in our research. It fulfills a number of roles. I use it as a form of escapism to occupy my mind, to challenge myself, and to spend quality time with my son. These are the messages we hear over and over again. People are spending time with their family and friends. It's a form of escapism. It gives them that little break in the day to have a moment to themselves and forget about everything else. So that quote actually summed it up perfectly. Those are some of the unifying feelings and exhibits of how people play. But what else they have in common are these things here in the middle. They are unique groups, but they have these unifying things we talked about. Longevity, they're seasoned players playing on mobile devices, and it's all age groups. There's something for everyone. And digging a little bit deeper, when we talked about the common denominator, 86% are playing on mobile devices. Again, not only the phone, but others. At least once a week, they're doing this. 64% of all segments play to relax. We see this time and time again. This is a receptive space for them. They can take a breath and they can enjoy themselves. And we always want people advertising to people when they're in a happy space. And over half of them, all segments, play puzzle or casual games. This is 17 points higher than any other gaming genre that gets played. So you could really be a Call of Duty player, hardcore Call of Duty player, and you can be a hardcore Candy Crush player, and that's good. We accept you. We celebrate you. It can coexist. So we discussed these unique segments and what defines them into different aspects. We discussed what unifies them, the common denominators. And now let's take that view of the players, because we heard that they are receptive to ads. And let's take that view and put it into advertising. So what's the perception of advertising in these gaming environments? What players want and what they need from brands? We know that almost 60%, 57% of gamers don't like forced view or interruptive ads. It breaks them from that relaxed, happy, challenged, in a good way kind of mode, and it doesn't create a good brand experience, neither for the game nor the brands. It doesn't feel immersive. I think we all have a general understanding that gamers are receptive to advertising and that we understand what they don't like, but what about what they do like? 62% are actually more likely to purchase from brands advertising on their favorite game. So that's just under two-thirds. And over two-thirds are more likely to go and learn about a product if they advertise in their favorite game. So you have this ability to influence in this leaned-in audience. And with that 1.3 times higher, gamers are more than non-gamers to enjoy reward-based advertising experiences. So we're going to talk about this a little bit, this value exchange. They really enjoy the opportunity. They are receptive to ads, but on their terms. We'll come into that in a second. And gamers, more than non-gamers, are 1.4 times more likely to purchase something after seeing an advertisement. So this is what we're all looking for. Reaching them in a safe, native space, in an immersive experience where they're feeling happy and relaxed, and knowing that it will have a positive influence on them. Last year, I came here and I talked about premium by design, that mobile gamers are looking for premium experiences, things that feel authentic, that feel native to the experience, that it feels seamless. And people want this ability. I talked about the value exchange. They want this ability to opt in or opt out of advertising. So when you give them this power and they are receptive to it, we understand that this value exchange really means something to them and creates an even stronger a stronger connection with them and helps them to go research these products, purchase these products, and leave them overall with a great experience. So this understanding is critical, and executing within these spaces makes it all the more important to understand who you're targeting. And to sum it up, quality ad experiences that fit the player's experience and preferences are the formula for success. As we come to a close today, I encourage you to remember the many ways that game players play, the breadth of them, their uniqueness, and the common denominators. The power of mobile to reach these engaged audiences is big, and just like any other media, you can reach them with thoughtfulness and attentiveness. So thank you so much. For more information, you can scan the QR code and read our white paper. You can also go to ActivisionBlizzardMedia.com and find this, plus all the rest of our research. And I hope you have an amazing rest of your time learning and networking at Advertising Week Europe. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek, and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcanda, the audio conference solution.